Of course, today we're actually standing on a beach, but the coast 500, 600,000 years ago would have been several miles further out. And if you'd walked along that ancient coastline, you would have arrived in what nowadays we call the Netherlands, in the heart of Central Europe. At this time, there was a major land bridge connecting Britain to mainland Europe. We don't really know why humans colonised Britain at this time, but perhaps it was due to the effectiveness of this new technology that we call the hand axe.
The stone hand axe was made essentially in the same way and in the same shape for over a million years, and it must be the most successful piece of human technology in history. But is there one last secret in the stone? Our hand axe is just a bit too large to use easily. Why would you make it like that? I showed it to an expert in ergonomic design, the inventor, Sir James Dyson.
What interests me about this is that it's not really very practical. It's double-sided, it has a sharp edge both sides, and it's symmetrical. It's almost as though it's an object of beauty rather than a practical object. So I wonder, actually, if it's a decorative thing, or even something, you know, like a ceremonial sword to make you look brave, powerful, and maybe to pull women. It doesn't look to me like a practical tool. It looks to me more like a show object, a decorative object, than a practical object, because I can only see that whatever I do with it, I'm going to hurt my hand. So I think it's a beautiful object, but I don't believe it has any intent, serious intent behind it.
Of course, it is still a practical object, but I think it's nonetheless worth speculating, as Sir James Dyson does, whether our hand axe was made a bit too big for easy use in order to show that it was made for somebody important. Are we looking here at one of the oldest of all status symbols, the expression of a social pecking order? And then, the hand axe is so pleasing to the eye as well as to the hand that it's hard not to ask if it wasn't to some extent made quite intentionally to be a thing of beauty. Is this the beginning of the long story of art, and indeed the long story of art being pressed into the service of power? Or are we just projecting back onto those distant ancestors our own ways of thinking about beauty and status? In the next program, we're going to be unquestionably in the realm of art. I'm going to be looking at a masterpiece of Ice Age sculpture carved in the tusk of a mammoth.